We're living in a caustic, cantankerous, combative culture. We call each other names and thinking nothing of denigrating others. So how should Christians respond in this kind of culture? How should we speak and dialogue in this culture? Can we participate in small redemptive acts as a sign of the gospel in this culture? We're going to talk about these ideas with Dr. Mark Eckel this morning. He's president of the Comenius Institute in Indianapolis, and he joins us here on Moody Radio Quad Cities. Good morning, Mark.
It's great to be with you both.
Yeah, Happy New Year to you, Mark. Appreciate you joining us here this morning. And so as we think of Christians in the description that Deb gave of our society today, how can we as Christians really improve how we react to these situations, or how can we view the cultural climate of our day as a Christian today, Mark?
Sure, I'll take the second question first.
Okay.
I think in America, we live in a coarse and a corrosive culture. And by culture, by the way, I just simply mean how people live.
Mm-hmm.
So in America, we tend to spill our private lives in cyberspace for everybody to see. Americans tend to think nothing of allowing lewd and licentious behavior. That's not anything that puts folks off in this culture.
Mm.
In America, because we have such digital distance from each other, we think we can spew our contempt and scorn and hatred without consequence. So everything is everywhere for everyone to see. My interactions in American culture intersect with many ideas and people and situations and reports that deserve a response. And one of the reasons we've started a weekly series called Truth and Two through Comenius, through our Comenius websites, is because we're trying to educate Christians as to how they ought to respond to culture, which simply means how people live.
Mm-hmm.
So among other interactions, I teach in a public university campus, and I interact with fantastic students and faculty. My job, I believe, is to strive to do my job as a professor with excellence so that I might live out this testimony before others that Christ has given to us.
It's interesting that we're talking about this today because I've been reading through Philippians. And this morning, what really stuck me is that verse that says, "Let your gentleness be evident to all."
Mm-hmm.
And I started thinking about my life. Is my life marked by gentleness? And is it evident to people who are watching me? I mean, I don't think we emphasize that very much anymore, Mark.
I absolutely agree with you. The issue of gentleness is not something that coincides with a combative culture at all. And so, yes, as Christians, that should be a mark for us.
And a few days ago, actually, I was reading your Facebook post, and I saw you offered some questions that I thought were really great to consider as we begin a new year, so we can cultivate some of this in our life. We can look more Christ-like in our culture. Can you give us a list of those questions?
Sure. So number one, will I accentuate the positive over the negative? Number two, will I listen to others outside my group? Number three, will I encourage others with my words? Number four, will I find ways to help those who can't help themselves? And number five, will I sacrifice my time, talent, and treasure on behalf of the public good?
Mm-hmm.
Now, some people hearing those questions might think to themselves, well, there's really no difference between those questions and anybody else who's not a Christian who might ask those questions. My response to that is always going to be the same. Christians actually have the origin and source for the answers to those questions. Other people do not. In fact, living in a culture where people want to say we should be doing good things, my first question is always going to be, how do you define what's good? And my second question is, where does good come from? So Christians really do have the answer to those five questions, and I think they're really powerful for us.
Yeah. So, Mark, when you talk about, in specifically number two, you know, listening to those outside my group, can that be those maybe that aren't that are in the church, but maybe not within our circles? Or are you talking about primarily those outside of Christianity?
I am talking about everybody.
Okay.
We have a tendency to not listen to people, whether that be in the church or outside the church. Absolutely everybody.
Hmm.
Mark, can you give us maybe some suggestion on how we can do that? What's an effective way that we can be better listeners?
Oh, my. Let me go back to a biblical base for all of this again.
Mm-hmm.
I I'm really struck by passages like 1 Peter 2, for instance, my responsibility of doing good, that people might see your good deeds, zealous for what's good, having a good conscience, good behavior, all these things coming out of 1 Peter 2 and 3. And then Titus chapter 2 and chapter 3, verses 1, 8, and 14, repeat the phrase over and over again, do good, do good, do good. So our responsibility really then comes out of that kind of mindset and that interior change that Christ makes in us. I'll run down through these real quick just to kind of enumerate each one and, mm-hmm. and give kind of flesh out each idea.
Yeah.
For the first, for instance, accentuating the positive, I'm not suggesting we should stop calling others to account or even voicing disagreement. What I am encouraging is a shift in approach. How do we acknowledge our disagreements but search for commonality?
Mm-hmm.
Number
mm-hmm.
two, the listening to others. I'm not advocating anybody leave their group. Everybody needs a community. I'm advocating that we hear other people, no matter who they are, whether we agree or disagree. Number three, encouraging words. I'm calling for a moratorium on hateful words toward people. We should leave behind incendiary terms, reject combative language, commend the good of opponents, and hoist a common flag. Rejoice even when others are helped, no matter who does the helping, which leads to number four, helping the helpless. I think I'm prompting everybody to put their money where their mouth is. Mm-hmm. You see a need, meet it, especially if it helps somebody, even with whom you disagree, how that might attract people to the gospel of Jesus.
Mm.
And number five, sacrificing for the good. I believe Christians should practice the life of Jesus, care for the sick, feed the hungry, visit the prisoner, house the homeless, declare the gospel. And then the question that really should reverberate through all of this is, how will my life be an answer to the questions that I ask?
Mm-hmm.
How will I live my life?
Yeah, definitely.
Wow, that's so good for us to be thinking.
Yeah, I've been just teaching on Colossians here recently, and chapter 3 is what we went through last night, and it's how we are supposed to really be more like Christ now that we have accepted him as our Savior and that he is living inside of us through the Holy Spirit. How do we, you know, really show ourselves as Christians? And so I'm curious, Mark, how did you or why did you come up with these questions like this to ask ourselves? And maybe what were you thinking of when you were coming up with these?
Sure. I believe Christians should practice these ideas in their daily life. I'm thinking again about how does Scripture inform how I think and behave in the culture in which I live? And so this kind of thing comes out of passages like a 1 Peter 2:21 that says, I should follow in the steps of Jesus, those kinds of ideas. Speaking of Colossians or any passage throughout Old or New Testament, some of the key concerns that we have, I believe, are grace and humility and self-control and acceptance and love. And those are just crucial concerns for all of us. That we should exemplify these before a culture that desperately needs to see them.
Mm-hmm. That is so for sure. And what an impact could be made if we all started asking these questions and answering them with our lives in this new year.
Yeah, that's right. And so, Mark, kind of give us, before we let you go, some marching orders. How can we really start putting these things into practice? Just basics on what we can start doing.
Sure. Right now, this very moment, ask yourself, how can I give other people grace and space? How do I give people an opportunity to be who they are and come out of the experiences that they've had? Who knows what kind of home life people are coming from or what negative thing has just happened to them, and how we respond to them is giving them grace and space. I think about listening to others. Oftentimes, we have a tendency to kind of add to other people's stories. Oh, that happened to me too. Maybe what we ought to do is not try to add to people's stories and just listen to what they have to say. And that really is, again, an attractive element of the gospel. I think we need to accept other people for who they are, respect who they are, no matter how they identify themselves or what they do. That's our job, is not to give any kind of prejudgment about people. Again, coming back to what Jesus said in John 13, people will know you're my disciples if you love one another. And then, of course, the 1 Peter 4:8, keep loving one another earnestly, since love covers a multitude of sins. People will be attracted by love, and I think that is our marching order for our day.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, definitely.
Amen.
Yeah, that's right. Amen. That's Dr. Mark Eckel, president of the Comenius Institute in Indianapolis. You can find out more at ComeniusInstitute.org, or the other website is warpandwoof.org. Mark, as always, we appreciate your time and your thoughts this morning.
It's been great to be with you, Ken and Deb. Thanks so much for the invitation.